This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
Hey, ladies and nerds, welcome to another episode of the Nerdcast, a very special Nerdcast brought to you by Geek Garage. That's right, head on over to geek-garage.com to check out some awesome geek vehicles, all the geek and pop culture themed. I almost said pop themed. I mean, maybe they have a Coca-Cola car or something. I don't know. But our special guest today, Ryan, just when we started recording, just decided he's going to die from like a choking thing here. But it is a special episode. Why is it special episode, Bob? Because Tyler's not here.
Is it because I'm here?
Oh, it's because you're here.
Yeah.
No Chiefs right now, so
no Chiefs,
we got you.
No work.
And Tyler's not here.
And so
did
we
mention Tyler's not
talk
here?
Talk and get a word in.
Our top-notch behind-the-scenes engineer here, Mr. Ryan, is joining us as well.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And then Carrie from I'm Not Famous on the same podcast feed, so you're probably familiar with his voice a little bit, too.
What's up?
And in the background, you might hear some Mia. You might hear some Q from High Five.
Okay. There it was.
I did pick it up on the headphones, too. Good job, Mia. There you go. And why are we all together, guys?
Well, for the Tall Grass Film Festival.
That's exactly why. It's pretty awesome. So we are at the 17th Annual Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita, Kansas, and it is late Friday night, if you can't tell from the over-excitement on the microphones right now.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Keep
exciting. Well, we just ate, so we're all just kind of
we
like,
did. Oh, we went to River City Brewing Company, which we go every year. And what did you guys get? You got the meatloaf, Bob?
I got meatloaf. It's very good.
Oh, I got the shrimp scampi mac and cheese, as well as the bourbon bacon cheeseburger. Carrie, you got mashed potatoes with soup on it?
Yes. I still can't. Chicken
and noodles.
Homemade chicken
noodle soup.
Noodle soup.
Over mashed potatoes.
Over mashed potatoes.
No, that looked good.
I looked at the menu, and it didn't say soup. It just said
chicken and noodles.
That is a Midwestern.
That was in the soup. It was in the soup section of the menu, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So it only has to say chicken.
Midwestern dinner. Big blob of mashed potatoes, and you pour chicken and noodles over it. Some place, I mean, I usually when I do it, I put like carrots and stuff.
Right.
And stuff
I was
like
expecting
that.
More vegetables.
But also.
And broth.
People do beef and noodles that way too.
Right.
But you don't put vegetables in beef and noodles.
It was interesting.
Really
it was
when it's the homemade noodles.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, I was wondering what was going on. So for those that are listening to the podcast, sorry about that. A few seconds. I was trying to keep turning Bob up on number three. And Carrie down on number four. And Carrie just kept getting louder, and Bob kept getting quieter. And it's because Bob's on four, and Carrie's on three. So sorry about that when Carrie was yelling at you and Bob was whispering. But I think we're good now. And then Ryan got some, the chicken caprese, right?
Yep.
It's really good there, too.
Yeah, that was really good.
I didn't even get to see that.
Yeah, because it was gone. Down my gullet.
Wow.
That's in Old Town, Wichita. We come there every time. So shout out to River City Brewing. Since we're mentioning you, if you ever want to sponsor anything, we are here. You can hit me up on email. As somber and as level as we sound right now, it's actually been a really exciting day, and we still have a lot of exciting time not only left tonight but for the weekend, because it's the Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita, guys. Yeah.
There's only one word to describe the rest of the weekend. Galas!
Yeah, right, basically.
No, Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar Hill Gang. So
and alcohol-infused cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. They were advertising on the sponsor screen.
I saw that.
Infused? I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, what is it called? Like
custom cupcakes?
No.
Yeah,
it's something with a K. Like
it's
two K's.
No, it's cocktail cupcakes.
Cocktail cupcakes. That's it.
But with K's.
But it's
Kansas's cocktail cupcakes.
They are cupcakes, and they come with a little droplet thing. You know, like you would, put drops in your eyes.
Don't put this in your eyes, though.
Yeah,
Bob.
Really. Yeah,
don't put it in your eyes.
That would burn.
Because it's alcohol. Especially because that was Fireball. Like, wasn't it too? Or
yeah,
what was
one
it?
One
like
was Fireball.
Yeah.
And
don't put that in your eyes.
Squeeze it, and it soaks the cupcake up with the alcohol.
And then you eat the cupcake.
And then you put it on Carrie's head.
Well, yeah. That happened last year.
Yes.
You can't. You Listen, you can't save a cupcake.
I was doing a damn good job until you put your finger in it.
I believe I tried to eat it. But you didn't give it to me, and I was very upset.
Well,
because it was one of the last ones, too.
It was the last one. I was holding on to it.
Dude, that was the interesting gala last year because it had, what, SpaghettiOs and meatballs?
SpaghettiOs and meatballs.
Little sausages, ding-dong, Swiss cake rolls, like all the different.
And Rice Krispie treats.
So it was all like those kind of snacks.
It was junk food.
Yeah, it was like they had like ashtrays on the tables. And they made cigarettes. It was pretzels dipped with white
chocolate.
Yeah. And something else on the end of
like
it.
Like red.
Like an Oreo type.
But it was more like a decoration, but I ate a few of them.
Well, I mean, they were chocolate dipped pretzels. You have to
But it
eat
wasn't
them.
Like it was well known that these were.
No, and it was very dimly lit, so it was hard to tell. So it was like it was a debate whether it was going to be cigarettes
there like
or
a
not.
Tent too? Wasn't there like a weird
So
tent
somebody had to bravely just reach over.
Was like a beanbag area?
Oh, there was the. There was. It was
the photo booth.
Well, there's the photo booth trailer at that one, but there was also the across from it was the meditation.
House?
No, it was that little somebody put up like a sheet and called
it
the meditation lounge.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
None of us went in it. But we all
got
in the
says you. I was totally in there. I wasn't meditating.
We all got in the photo booth, and I remember Carrie wore that big bear head.
When he kept singing the bear necessities wrong.
Oh, right. What was that?
Did you pick that up?
I don't know if she. Yeah, definitely. I picked up every noise she's made, but I don't know if she was. Was that her hiccup or was she yelling
was
about Carrie doing the bare necessities wrong?
That was hiccup.
That was hiccup. Okay.
And then the next night, we were on like the 12th or 14th floor.
They were the top floor of like
the biggest
highest building
in Wichita, and it was a outer space
themed. That was the inside stuff was pretty cool.
Was
we didn't have to wait
neat.
Forever. But we're talking about Tallgrass 16 right now. We need to talk about Tallgrass 17, guys.
Well, we don't know what the gala.
Is at the Greyhound station.
Not 2017, guys.
That we're about to go. Well, it's
Tallgrass 17.
Number 17.
Oh,
yeah.
Number 17.
Yeah. So. What broke?
There are weird
the
noises.
Remote control.
What was that?
Oh, it was just the remote control for the hotel. That's fine.
Hotel.
No worries. No worries. Wait, that's all recorded. I mean, obviously, that was a piece of my equipment that fell, and nothing that's owned by the hotel.
Oh, come off it.
But anyways,
Tallgrass 17. So Bob saw a movie he really didn't like.
Oh man.
Which is that's unlike you. Like I don't think I've ever seen you be that passionate about.
Well, I don't want to go. So one, I don't want to go too deep into Bob's. Too deep into his opinions on this because he's going to write it and put it on the site.
Understood.
So projectnerd.com, guys, for those of you that are picking us up on Apple, Google, wherever else you get us, projectnerd.com, we have a lot of cool written content, and Bob's going to have those reviews. And I don't want you to just listen. And like, you should listen to us here and follow our advice because we're really good at advice, but you should also go read the reviews.
Yeah.
But Bob just didn't like it.
It was...
And you can...
The movie was Burning Cain, and... I don't know. I expected a little bit more. It was about race in the South and stuff like that. But it was just...
A race.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Not a race.
I didn't know. Is it like a mudding race? Because we have another one here about mudding in the South.
I honestly can't wait for Red, White, and Wasted.
Which
is one of the coolest titles that's being shown here.
Yeah. Yes. It sounds like it's your kind of movie.
So we got the press junket out of the way.
Yeah.
So we did the interviews. We got a bunch of interviews. We're going to do a few more interviews, obviously, this weekend. So you'll catch a bunch of interviews, too. Those are all on video, so you may not catch them on this podcast feed. Head on over to our YouTube channel or, again, projectnerd.com, guys. Let's get over there and start checking out our website. But I don't know what was the – I mean, Ryan and Carrie – well, Carrie was in there some, but Ryan, you obviously were running the tech for all of them. What was the most interesting interview? I mean, they all seemed pretty cool.
They were
but
all really interesting. There was tons of cool stuff.
Such a good parent answer right there. I loved all of them equally.
I loved all of them evenly. We had tons of cool interviews. We had Grace with Once Upon a River. We had the crew from Fly Like a Girl. That looked like a really interesting one. But the only one that I actually had a chance to see today was Taryn. We interviewed Taryn from she did one called I Am Human, all about technology and the human body and integration and where
cyborgs
we're going
are
with
here,
going
guys.
Cyborgs. And cyborgs that was really, here. Really well done. It was very cool. Talked about using technology to improve people's lives, that there was a tetraplegic, so he could only feel from the chest up. and talking about improving his life. And that was absolutely incredible. They went into tying his brain into electronics that were embedded in his arm, and he was actually able to move his arm and grasp a fork, which is incredible. They worked with someone who had Parkinson's disease and helping her with her problems with Parkinson's.
That's huge, considering my family history. And
I was watching that, and when the Parkinson's came up, I was like, Iggy, you should be in here. So,
like, that's pretty interesting. I think, Bob, as of right now, I believe you're seeing that and going to provide a review for it as well.
I have to double-check my schedule.
But her interview was incredible, and she really talked to it very well. Like, for all of us that were in there in the room, I think, Carrie, you were in there for that one. Like, and the way she was talking about it, too, it was like, I think it – everybody was wanting to see it, and then it finally, at least the majority, were like, okay, we're whatever else we were doing tonight, we're just going to.
If you listen to her interview and don't want to watch that film, I don't know.
No, she's passionate about it,
and
for
sure.
And
how old was she?
Well, and it was...
Carrie's making up ages.
Carrie.
We still don't know. There is some numbers being thrown around.
She's young. The point is that she's young, and she produced about it, and I believe she was one of the ones, because there was a couple different people that talked about the back end, the post production of putting together a full length feature and how it assembles. And she talked in detail about that. So she had her hands heavily on this.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes the word producer can mean you gave us money or you gave us space.
Yeah, no,
so we gave you a credit.
She was there with the cameraman doing everything. She was there in the cutting room, you know, making decisions on cuts and everything. She was hands on with everything. She got to learn all about the technology and everything that was going on with it. It was absolutely incredible.
That's neat.
It's funny because we've done a number of these interviews now, and you kind of get a feeling ahead of time when you're setting up the camera and the audio and getting ready to go, and you kind of get a feeling for the people who are like, okay, they're quiet, they're not going to say much. And this was one of those. I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. We're going to have to kind of drag all this information out of her because she's just completely calm and, okay, I got these two camera angles, and we're going to do this and that. And she's like, yep. And that was it. You know, normally people are more talkative, and then all of a sudden we get into it, and boom, she just went, and it was a great interview.
It was a good one.
In-depth, talking about she got to work with the government on some crazy stuff there. Just tons of cool stuff.
You know, I'll say the G-word on the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Now they're listening to everything else we said. That was a trigger word.
Google.
They're listening to us too, yeah. Because the phone's in my pocket right here, so it can hear me loud and clear.
Yeah.
It was a cool one. We interviewed, which we're excited about, the movie Hudson's here this weekend. Those two, Sean, who is he's the writer-director.
Writer-director,
yep.
And then Mary Catherine. Actor.
She's the actress and a producer on it. And she said, it's funny in the interview, which you'll catch the whole interview again on Project Nerd, is, she's like, well, I'll produce it if you let me be in it.
Only if I'm in it.
It's really interesting on independent films, and, you know, we've been here how many years, but we see that double duty where the actors...
You said duty.
Where the actors are the writers, or the actors are the producers or something like that. So they're wearing two hats, basically.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the independent filmmaking. Yes. And we talk about... And a lot of people that are very familiar with our podcasts or have met us in person that follow Project Nerd know we're very open about all of us. This is all for fun. We're all doing this as, you know, we all work. We all have our jobs. And when we come to festivals like this, the people in the same boat, they usually have something else going on. Some of them may work in the industry, but usually in a different capacity. And these are independent movies they're making on the side. And that's what's really cool about Tallgrass is that, what was that noise?
I'm assuming it's a game, like a advancing to a next level is okay. What my guess would have been on that one.
Exactly. This is as much as the Tallgrass Film Festival is so many times found in publications or on websites and top, you know, festival lists, and it's a surprise to so many people, it still is a truly, truly, and I think it actually says truly independent or stubbornly independent. Stubbornly. That's what it is. And they keep to the independent people, the people that are coming out here and are returning Monday to go back to their job in between promoting their film. So,
it's
true.
I don't think I've seen any, if you want to call them mainstream films, at this
close
festival.
Enough is Parasite.
That's
usually that,
and that's I think and the reason is because it's a foreign film, and
we're gonna
they are damn lucky to get it.
Oh yeah, especially with
huge.
The buzz it's getting, and that review's already up on Project. Dude, I am on the Project Nerd plugs tonight.
Saying, man.
Wow, we are segueing into that.
Hold on, this one's for Sarah over at the G Spot podcast. There you go. She opens every G-Spot podcast with herself opening a White Claw, and I got myself a nice black cherry here. Got to keep those calories low after hitting up that River City Brewing. Everybody else is listing one meal they ate, and I'm like, well, I got the shrimp scampi mac and cheese and the burger. At least I didn't. Last year, I had drinks and the brownie.
I was
brownie.
Impressed that they actually split it for you without
that was
even
nice
asking.
Of them.
Yeah.
It was impressive. Yeah. It was impressive.
That is a bold move. I want to go back to that, though. I think the biggest thing for me, like when I see this – when you say mainstream, I'm surprised at how mainstream quality-wise these movies actually
it's
are
true.
For being independent.
Yeah.
I've been really
yeah.
impressed with the cinematography and some of the ways mm-hmm. that these low-budget or multi-hyphen kind of situations still actually produce a really good quality movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's all in the post-production, and that's what we were just talking about with some of these people put into it. Because nowadays, you can record a good quality video movie on your phone. But it's how you edit it. It's how you frame it. It's the lighting.
Exactly.
And
it's
the
things on set.
It may be low budget, but it's high passion. You know, the
exactly.
people, if you've got the skill to do it, you might do it for free, but you...
And we talk about Sav with Chasing with Amy, our homie Sav over there who had the short...
Killed it.
What was the short called again?
Queen for a Day.
Queen for a Day, which is great. It's 4 minutes long, and that's what the first thing I mentioned is the
great.
Production, but the production quality. Like, it looked like something you would see,
it was so cool
like you said, in
like
a theater.
The wig, like, just that shot on the wig on the ground, and it was just constantly there when the credits were...
Yeah,
I think
that
that's what...
Cool.
But he is passionate about it. But I think that's like one of my favorite parts is being able to see when you talk to them, like Hudson, mm-hmm. right? Sean was 8 months into post-production and editing by himself.
Yep.
You know, how long does it normally take to edit a film with a bunch of editors for a mainstream film versus one person doing it,
months. Sometimes they're doing
what's
it
the
on
runtime
the
on Hudson.
They're doing
like
it on the fly in a mainstream film.
I think
it's a full
30?
Length feature, so I think it was closer to
it's
an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bob, this one's for you because you've been here most of the 6 years. I think you missed one of the years we came.
Yeah.
I was talking about it on the way back with George came. Hi, George, Georgie. Mm-hmm. You've been here at least I think 4 or 5 of the years.
Yeah.
We've been here for 6 years. What's the most There's been a couple of them. So what's the most mainstream movie you can remember off the top of your head?
Wow.
I can't remember what movie it was, but there was one year there was a movie that was like an award contender. Well, what was, not only, there was the movie, so the guy that works with Spike Lee, that's from Wichita.
Kevin Wilhite.
Yeah, what movie did he do? He's had a couple here.
He's had a couple here, but I don't think they were in mainstream. You know, he wrote Black... Klansman with Spike Lee.
Yeah,
but
so he won an Academy Award.
Yeah, but I don't think he's ever had a real mainstream. Honestly, you know, it's like you said. I think Parasite, and I think last year with Shoplifter. And
so another foreign one.
Another foreign film.
And then Mood Indigo. I think about 5 years ago, Mood Indigo from what's his name?
I know
Michel Gondry.
Yeah, I think that's
who's done Be Kind, Rewind, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Mood Indigo, but it was his French film. It's not a Unite.
Yeah.
It was originally released, and it was in French, and it's a beautiful movie. I gave it a 10 out of 10
really
on the review.
I think that's probably the most mainstream.
And then on the documentary side, we see a little bit more. So we've had A Band Called Death here. Mm-hmm. We've had some other documentaries we've talked about. We were just talking about Inmate Number One. Danny Trejo one.
I did see it.
Yeah, so Bob already saw it. The rest of us are going in the morning.
Another great interview. Brett just killed
that
it.
That was good.
Yeah,
was
but
good
he's, but he's. I mean, those are a little bit bigger in terms of in a major studio. Or studios are probably going to show interest in that. And
yeah,
so,
the thing about that one is... When you watch it, there are a lot of big name stars who are in that film. So, you know,
because it's Danny Trejo,
Michelle Rodriguez, Cheech Marin.
It sounds about it. Anybody that was in the Desperado cast is what you're
getting at. But so there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot.
Well, Trejo's been acting since late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we've talked loosely about it.
Too.
We've known some information but even talking further with him, from drug addiction very young to times. So I knew he served
three
prison.
Three times.
Yeah,
on
it was really kind of interesting.
It's crazy because I knew he was in prison, and not just any prison. Like,
and this, and those charges came up from when he was in prison. He threw a rock at a guard and knocked him out, and they charged him with
attempted
murder.
Murder with not even killing him.
Well, attempted murder. I was going to say it was attempted murder, but the cop he recovered, but he never saw who threw it, and so they threw the charges out
because they couldn't put it on him.
Yeah,
and nobody spoke against Danny Trejo because that's what they're talking about. He's got a he still lives in his original neighborhood with a really nice house.
Pacoima.
And
he goes
like there's
out
no
there
security.
And
he's
out there helping people. He's he in his community is always out there.
Well,
he's
still going back to prisons.
And he goes back
and
to prisons
talking
and
to
talks
prisoners
to him.
About.
He is a drug counselor.
Well, he's a genuinely good guy. Anybody
he
who
really
opens
is.
Up a
he
taco
just looks
shop.
Scary as shit.
I mean, anybody who contributes tacos to this community.
Anybody who contributes tacos.
And does he do donuts? He does donuts now
tacos
too.
Tacos are good.
Does he have a donut place too?
I think he has a donut.
We have Trejo's Tacos.
I thought he has a donut place, too.
He might.
I think he does.
I think you're just really wanting some dessert.
Donuts sound good. I mean, donuts sound great.
I was really excited to talk with Brad.
I'm
that
too
really
stuffed
cool.
to eat anything. I don't know how you guys are talking
ice
about
cream.
Dessert right now.
I don't know. I think with inmate number one, I was really excited to hear kind of like – I think everybody hears about prison, but how important he was in the prison.
He
like,
was
he wasn't just
inmate,
like an inmate
number one.
Yeah.
That's why it's called that. Yeah.
No. Actually, it's called inmate number one because – in the credits for the movies, he was inmate number one, man who yells.
I thought when we were talking, he made it sound like because he was the top inmate.
And it is brought up in
the
film.
Top
that's
inmate whenever he was in movies as the inmate number one.
And Taylor Hackford was the director who first got him, I think, a speaking role. It was No Blood, No Surrender, I think it was, or something like that. And that was, I guess, his first speaking role. His first character, he had a name, was Death Wish 4 with Charles Bronson. And he actually had a character name. Otherwise, he was always inmate number one.
Ooh, good old Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
The acting Charles Bronson. Not the inmate number one Charles Bronson.
Yes.
There was some... There's some stuff we were talking about after we turned the camera off that I wish we had in the interview beyond just, his backstory, but talking about the making of the documentary and all the red tape they had to cut through and all the hoops they had to go through with, like, which song was it?
There's
the Beatles
song.
Hey Jude.
Hey Jude. They had to jump through hoops just to be able to use it.
And honestly, they don't use it that much. It's the part where
we just said
McCartney
it was a very
goes,
important part.
Hey, Judy, 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 Judy. Yeah, that part.
Yeah.
And that's what they use in the movie. But yeah, so they had
He was saying they had a ton of trouble getting that into the film because of use. They're like, we don't care. It's, you got to.
Is that one of the spotlight films that they're doing, or is that just
no? It's on the documentary side.
Yeah.
So I mean, they do have a documentary award, so I'm sure people voted on it.
Because I mean, going back to your thing, I think that's like the most mainstream because people know Danny, Trejo, right? That's somebody that connect to. But I think everybody's kind of excited for tomorrow for Bobcat.
Well, I was gonna say, so if we're playing outside of the rules of movies still on the festival circuit. They do show some big stuff here. I think the biggest thing was the Pulp Fiction with that crew
Jackie
being
Brown
out here
last year.
Oh, you did have her, but you had Pulp Fiction with them out here talking about doing the Q&A. Yeah. The team behind that too.
I have to interrupt right now.
The donuts,
Trejo's Coffee and Donuts is, and if those of you out in California, it's at 6785 Santa Monica Boulevard.
Ooh,
it's
right
open
on.
From 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
That's dude, it's Coffee and Donuts, and it doesn't open until 7 a.m.?
I know.
Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if that pays off.
But, yeah.
Trejo's that's crazy.
Coffee and Donuts.
There you go.
And his picture
it's right
is
on Santa Monica
Trejo's
Boulevard.
Coffee and
I kind of want that.
His
I
picture
that
is
shirt.
On the box.
Oh, it's a pink box, too.
I want a shirt that is that's from nice. There.
Trejo's Coffee and
you
Donuts.
You can probably get them there.
We'll talk to our dude tomorrow to the screen and see if we can't get a
I was excited because, I mean, obviously doing some of the lead up to it and
ooh,
seeing what was here. You know, that was a big one.
Bob, put the donuts away. Donuts? Yeah,
he's still looking at.
Because I got the headphones on, so I can hear all the audio. Oh. So even though he's talking quietly, he's talking right in the mic. So Carrie's talking, and then you hear Bob go, "Ooh, donuts."
We're gonna make a special trip out there. No, I'm definitely excited for Bobcat. I think that's day two.
That's gonna be fun.
We'll talk through that tomorrow, but I think that's gonna be a really interesting experience.
So Bobcat Goldthwait getting the Ad Astra Award, which is the big award that they give to a filmmaker, and you mentioned Jackie Brown last year. So Pam Grier was the one who got it last year.
They're doing a showing of World's Greatest Dad.
World's Greatest Dad, and then the late showing is Shakes the Clown.
World's Greatest Dad? Like, that was the one, like, of all the things, like, is it the Robin Williams piece of it?
Honestly, of the movies he's directed, I feel like that's the most widely acclaimed, both critically and audience.
Honestly, you know, he never really had he never carried a movie. He was always a supporting role. I mean, I think the biggest role I think I ever remember him in is Scrooged.
Police Academy.
Do you? I really want to put Police Academy at a film festival? No.
I mean, it's Police Academy.
I mean, how is that any different than Shakes the Clown?
But honestly,
right?
Like, I would think
Shakes the Clown's got quite the cult following.
But this is where Bobcat is the director, right? These are movies.
Yeah,
that
he's being awarded
in.
For filmmaking.
Yeah.
So that's also different.
Yeah. World's Greatest Dad is him just, I think, purely directing. Shakes the Clown, I think, would have probably been a better choice for the award, you know.
Well, I mean, he definitely gets creative, I guess is the way to put it there. It's definitely out there. It's creative.
And he's got a lot of television lately, too.
Oh, and I think the best, after he's been doing the circuits promoting some of the stuff that's been out there, I think the best is yet to come because he talks about the documentary he made about a friend of his and Robin Williams that had some traumatic things happen as a child, a very young child.
That story that he talks about, especially now with the podcast circuit that he's doing, I think if you haven't listened to it,
You can check it out on tons of podcasts. Yeah. But they're turning it into a narrative, to an actual movie. And so that's going to be it's dealing with child rape, essentially. I mean, to be blunt about it. So interesting to see how he handled the documentary incredibly well. And this person who passed away, it's his friend who passed away and just passed away last year. And before he passed away, he said they had talked about making a movie. And that's why he's doing it now, to make it a narrative, to kind of dedicate it to the person it was about. And I think that's going to be – I think Bobcat is very underrated as a filmmaker, as a creative mind. So I'm really interested to see what he's able to do here with something so powerful – like such a
– something with substance.
Like deep and sensitive substance too. Like, yeah. So it'll be interesting. So real quick, we talked a lot about wrapping up today, stuff we had excited. You were getting there, so I was actually going to ask that too, what we're looking forward to tomorrow. So Bobcat – and then the gala event afterward has the Sugar Hill Gang.
I think this is the first time, and I mean, you guys have been here a lot longer. Normally, we do the press junket for 2 days.
Right.
So this is the first time, and obviously, this is my second time out here, but we actually get to experience the entire lineup of films, and we're going to see a lot of films tomorrow as well, but without really doing a lot of the press. But then we got the red carpet as well, obviously, for Bobcat. Which we're still trying to figure out. But
green,
I think,
carpet. It's
is
green.
It, is it
well,
really?
They call it the. I call it the red carpet because if I'm going to tell people green carpet, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? What?
They're going to play putt-putt.
That's what, people are going to be like, what? So they put turf down? Like, I don't know what you're.
I'm excited because I unfortunately didn't get to watch any movies today. I think we did some of the shorts. Bob, obviously, you took the bulk of the movies and Ryan kind of reached out, but. Definitely Inmate Number One.
I'm Human.
That's what we got. We got Inmate Number One. We're definitely seeing Hudson, I think, is on the docket as well.
Parasite, you guys are going to?
Well, no, Hudson and Parasite show at the same time. It's the problem.
I guess I'm seeing Parasite.
Yeah. I think Q wants to go see Parasite as well. I think he's crashed before we hit to the gala. It's been a long day. It's been a long day. I can't say I took my nap already. I'm not going to, right?
Yeah.
So
took your nap during that baseball game.
I think that. So what else is there? I mean, from a...
We've done
all the press. Now we're just basically going to be like
We're going to knock out a couple more interviews, hanging out with a lot of people. Like we talked about, there's a lot of great. So if you go back through some of our older interviews with like H.P. Mendoza, who did A Bitter Melon. He's here. He's part of it's really cool because they have a filmmakers board.
Right.
So they bring people back, and for a few years at a time, the filmmakers are part of the team. that helps selects the movies, that helps selects the content and the style of the film festival, which I think makes Tallgrass so great and unique and why filmmakers themselves love it so much.
Well, that filmmaker roundtable that all the filmmakers bailed on us to go, and all of them were actively wanting to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Where they just get to sit there and hang out and talk to each other.
And talk about
how to
make
it,
yeah.
Things.
Yeah, so it's very filmmaker-driven, and part of that is having this board. And they turn it over like a typical board of directors would be, to where you have – so every few years it changes over to different people. And, so H.P. Mendoza's on there, and then David, who we talked to last year.
With Maestro?
Yeah, the Maestro.
Yeah.
So he was the producer. Fantastic movie with Xander Berkeley in it. And he's part of that. He's out here too. Just texted me a second ago. He's a big baseball guy, so we've been texting baseball stuff. But it's just great that you get to see a lot of faces again and again, and they really value what the filmmakers say. And bringing up that roundtable is great too. But yeah, we're gonna knock out some interviews tomorrow. I think we'll take the audio equipment to the lounge back like the old day. So in the old days, before you guys came, we used to just grab one of those tables and set up all the audio right there, and then have the video camera to the side,
right,
and just stand there and do video interviews on the side, and then have people come sit down and do half-hour to hour-long podcasts
that's
with us.
That's a really cool idea. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then the past few years, they've moved it to – because they started doing Junket. But we were talking about it with Ashley today, which shout-out to Ashley, who
Ashley's
runs –
she's killing it as always.
And she runs all the press stuff. But back in the day, we were talking about when we first came out here, it was – Tallgrass did their own video interviews. So right. They had some of the Wichita State students help, like, run interviews of all – and then the Wichita Eagle, the newspaper, would come out like for the galas, and then it was us. That was it. That was the press coverage for Tallgrass back 6 years ago. Is the filmmakers would come in, and they didn't have to do a press junket because it was literally, oh, just go over to this side of the VIP lounge because there's Project Nerd, and then there's our crew also doing interviews, and then that's it. You just do the two interviews. Now, which it's super awesome because Tallgrass has gotten so big, I think they sent them. There was like six or seven other people in the press junket.
Yeah, there was like seven.
Yeah, so there was like seven. So they were coming through and doing seven different interviews.
It was cool, too, because it's like the print stuff, you know. I'm so used to seeing this side of it where we do a lot of audio, video. But I still love kind of seeing someone pull out their little notepad.
Notepad there.
You know, kind of still taking notes to put it in a paper or a blog. I think that was kind of cool. I think it was interesting because the one question I kept asking people when they were coming up was, what's been the craziest question you've been getting asked? And, you hear that, like, somebody's down there asking, what is my fear?
Which is funny because we just talked about it on a few episodes ago. Yeah,
and I feel like people are stealing our thunder a little bit, but it's I can't wait. I think we've done the press today was awesome. The room itself, hopefully people go and watch the videos.
Well, yeah, two rooms.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we started down in the Egyptian room, and we got one interview done
before
down
they had
there,
to set up for the
Fly Like a Girl, and then
you know how much a plate at that dinner party is, by the way.
No.
It's $500 a plate.
What
$500?
No wonder they
Did
wanted to kick us out so they could
Oh, they
set
do
up.
It every year. They do the big fancy dinner party.
Right.
So whoever's getting the award, like last year Pam Grier, this year Bob, so you get to eat with them and some of the other filmmakers and the directors of the and you give it and like a good portion of the money goes towards like some kind of charity thing.
But as press we get to go and
imagine.
No, you do not get to go to that dinner. No.
So you get to sit in the mummy's tomb.
Right.
And dine.
We're talking about all this stuff. Let's give the big shout out.
In the Egyptian room, and ended up getting kicked up to the library, which was
Hogwarts
actually
library.
Really cool because it was this
masonry,
Masonic.
Like, yeah.
So you had all of the Master Mason pictures, you know, up on the
creepy
wall there, and some glass showing.
Highlight of the moment was in the middle of an interview when that lady came in and took like 700 pictures of the library.
What camera was she?
She was using a phone, but she had like, I don't, not even just the volume all the way up.
You make fun of my font being big.
Yeah, no, that audio was, she had like some kind of like megaphone connected to the speaker of that phone because every picture she snapped, that was the loudest I have ever heard a phone snap a picture. That is
in the middle of the interview.
Oh, and not only, she was like, so there would be like the glass cases that have some of the things in it, and she'd take like 10 different pictures of the glass case because just every inch and every angle. She took at least 70 or 80 photos during that interview. It was crazy. And then we're over there in the end, so she just stops and starts taking pictures of all of our stuff too and us doing the things. It's like we were part of the library. It was super weird and interesting. But
when I go back and edit it, I'll have to see if that audio
that
picks
click
up.
Every
that
yeah
click
because these are and you can tell from some of this is we've got new mics that we're getting used to as well, but we're all hand holding the mics. They're picking up so they're picking up a lot of stuff. You're getting a little extra noise, but that's what you get for us doing a in live at an event.
Well, it's ASMR.
Is that ASMR?
We're testing it for the first time. at an actual event.
Right. Well, I tested it beforehand, but in a very controlled environment, unfortunately.
Yeah, whereas,
my living room with nothing turned on.
Right.
No whereas, TV, no yeah, nothing, no background.
No movements, running, no nothing. Right,
we're running me. Interviews, and I've got, you know, people going
I can hear all of it. I can hear all of it in the headphones.
But you were going to...
I was going to keep going into it, yeah. But we've got some good things to talk about. I just want to give a shout-out to Tallgrass. So we talk about how they treat... So they put us up in our own room while the rest... not to knock on the rest of the press, but they all have to share a space. But they love us. And as part of it, we've just had such a long relationship with them and such a good relationship. And as we talk about, we've built relationships with so many of the filmmakers we've met here. We talk about him, Ethan, and the antagonist that were such a part of Project Nerd for so long. You know, our head editor, our comic editor-in-chief that blew our comic department, we're all part of that team from people we met here. And it's just a great show, and they treat us fantastic here.
But I feel like, to me, like as a person coming in now for the second time, it is a partnership. Not only what we do for the press, but, you know, we're down there helping just like they're volunteers. Yep. We're not just stopping with doing
interviews. You're even helping the other press people by filling the meter on their car. Right.
I'm surprised you offered that.
It wasn't an offer.
It was a joking offer?
I'm joking about this, but...
Yeah, because yeah, he was joking. He's like, oh, yeah, go feed my meter. I'm like, definitely, I'll do that for you. Like, joke. He's like, cool, here's some quarters.
You're like,
all right. If he gets a ticket, I would be very upset. But I think we all volunteer. We're helping people. We're constantly being brand ambassadors for Tallgrass. But I think they see it, and they want it, and we're just as excited about this as they are. So, I mean, that's what I see. Maybe
but and every staff person that's newer, as they continue to grow and add staff, they come over and are so excited to meet us. The people that we've known for forever, like little, not even mistakes, just things that weren't taken care of, like we just didn't get done out of the way. Like at breakfast this morning before we got over there, Blair, who's like in charge of a lot of stuff, comes over to us in the hotel and is like, hey, we'll get you taken care of with this stuff, and next year let's talk ahead on this. And it's like, yeah, they're just out of the way, always wanting to be a partner with us.
It wasn't just, hey, we'll take care of you. It was, I'm sorry, you know.
And there wasn't anything they did
like,
wrong.
There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
What are you apologizing for?
It's so Midwest, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we said.
We have to apologize. And we know we did something, but we're just going to apologize. I loved it. I mean, meeting and hanging out with Ashley again, killing it.
Ashley,
but all the volunteers look to us to kind of fill those gaps. But in the VIP lounge, where we had a table and we had all the filmmakers
just coming by
and hanging out.
Well,
you know,
it starts off with how awesomely organized they are, especially, again, with Ashley, that they're just, we're set up, we're sitting up there, we've got our cameras all set up, and they're just bringing people to us. It's not like the cons that we do where we have to go out and try to talk to somebody and talk to a handler and say, hey, can we get an interview? And now we got to take them back to the booth. No, they're coming to us.
Well, especially as a
and
project manager to get a list that
says you're going to get this person at this time and this person.
It's like, oh, thank you. We don't have to chase people down and have
two guests coming. Two-thirds of us here are project managers, so we love organization.
And then we're sitting there, and that takes the pressure off from our end. And when they come up, we're just kind of chatting with them, trying to warm them up, and then we end up making friends. And so where Carrie was getting into, we had a table, and they just kept walking up to us.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, how's it going? And they just swarmed our table, and we had a bunch of filmmakers sitting there with us just
But that's what's fun is this is the
fun.
First time, and we go back to media and entertainment and everything else, but how many times did you check your phone while you're hanging out at the VIP lounge? How many times did filmmakers check their phone?
When we were trying to fact check certain things on IMDb.
We were talking about, hey, when's this film? We want to watch that film.
Or that stuff, too, yeah.
The only time we were
checking the app.
But everybody was really engaged. You know, everybody was actually trying. And that's what I think not only Wichita but Tallgrass brings to this. You're actually meeting people. You talk about HP and all these people. These are connections that you're going to make and continue to make as these festivals go on, which is what I love about Tallgrass.
Well, and the prime example is Sav, like just meeting Sav for a short film last year.
One of the craziest years that a person can ever have in their entire life.
And a short film, and then within that year, we've watched what's happened to Sav do a TED Talk, which led to Sav meeting Kevin Smith, which has led to Sav's chasing Amy, now actually having all of those people in the film and being interviewed as part of the documentary and everything. Like, it's just the past year has been for him just like crazy, and it's exactly. And it's the connections made at all these festivals. Like, and Ashley talks about it. You know, Bennett Tallgrass has helped her career in the industry and things like that. I've talked to Nick and some other ones, and they talk about how great it is too. But yeah, it's great. We
big
love
shout
it.
Shout out to them. Like they kill it every year.
So I know, and especially for those of you listening in Brazil, Sweden, and France, and Spain, we got some of those Spain listeners. Love you, my Spanish people. But we've got, obviously, you're not going to probably get out here to Wichita to come
should,
to Tallgrass.
Though.
I mean, it's a recommendation. But for those of you that are closer, because a good chunk of our audience or people we've met in person are here in the Midwest, it's a great film festival. And people buy, you can buy weekend VIP passes. Yeah. You can buy all the tall pass, which is for the whole week, which the VIP passes, everything we're talking about we get to do, you get access to those same things. The galas, the VIP lounge, all the films, all
the
that
locations.
Stuff.
I mean, yeah. the ability to not just have one auditorium or, you know, two, the history in this city and the history in the buildings.
Oh, the
where
Scottish Rite Center
this?
Is gorgeous.
Crazy.
Yeah. That was awesome.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Telluride, you know, they will show movies in any room. I was in an office building where they had the board meetings in this office, and they're covered by curtains and stuff like that. It was like, you know, I've been in classrooms and gymnasiums.
The burlesque place here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that place was crazy.
That venue is awesome, yeah.
Yeah. Roxy's, is that the name?
Yeah,
of it?
Roxy's.
Yeah, is that what we heard?
There's down near Century, across from Century 2. We were
our
in back like a little
podcaster.
Shopping mall type thing.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Yeah. It's awesome. No, I watched Mood Indigo before I bought it in a office with a projector. And I'm seriously, the movie was so good, like I wouldn't have even noticed. But it's exactly that. They're making sure they have enough venues open and in walking distance from each other that they have to get creative at times and yeah. sometimes like that. And part of it may sound like that's a bad thing where we say, oh, we watched it in an office, or we did. But it's also kind of cool because you different each movie you go see, it's a different experience.
But I will
in those
tell
places.
You this: they do a great job at making sure that the experience, the motion picture experience is good for you, because like I said, I was in a boardroom. They had Dolby Surround all over the room.
Set up. They put up curtains. They make sure chairs are there. Yeah. They take
I mean,
care of it.
The sound, like I said, even though I hated the film, it had a great
spoiler alert.
Oh yeah. It Jeez. Was
a great sound.
All the setups were great. The, yeah. when we went to go see I Am Human, what was interesting, we were talking to, Taryn about it, was how they filmed it with specific lenses for a specific way of viewing it. And she was talking about, if you watch it tonight, it's going to be better film quality than if you watch it, because it's going to be a different kind of projector tomorrow, and so it won't be as high quality. And we're sitting in there and we're watching it, and it was absolutely gorgeous. For one, all the visuals were amazing in there, but we're also sitting in this old like opera hall.
Oh, the Scottish
and,
Rite Theater
yeah,
is
in the
fantastic.
Scottish Rite Theater, and it was just amazing. All the, you know, the balconies and everything.
It's a neat,
all the
it's a neat area.
Velvet, and
it's
it
almost
was
like an opera
just, kind of
house
yeah,
kind of feel
exactly.
to it. You know, with like the things on the side
and
where
very
you could
ornate,
usually sit in kind of feel
the
to
saint,
it.
The stained glass stuff.
We're linking
yeah,
the chat.
Definitely
yeah,
definitely like Fifth Element, kind of like that scene from like
the
Fifth
balconies
Element.
The opera.
But yeah, you're talking about Lincoln. I'm thinking of Staten and Waldorf.
Staten and Waldorf, yeah. Dreams about this place. Dreams, more like nightmares. yeah, it's all fantastic. I think the favorite movie I saw in that venue was, maybe that's the biggest movie there. And it's only because it took off. Blackfish premiered here.
It did.
Blackfish.
The whale documentary.
Yeah, the one that like went up.
Dolphins.
That got nominated. No, it's
was
the,
it whales or
it's
dolphins?
The killer whales. That's why it's Blackfish.
Oh, okay, that dolphin.
Yeah. Okay, but it's about the illegal Japanese
right.
fishing and hunting
right.
of, or
who,
fishing.
Who narrated
and,
that? Who was the...
He was here, the director
was
that
it?
Made it. I can't think of his name right now. Okay. We were friends with him for a while on social
but
media.
Again,
but
documentaries are considered an independent film.
Yeah, I would say so, but it ended up getting
because
picked up and, and went for a nomination
compared
that year.
To, yeah, compared to your narrative films, I mean, to make a documentary, you have to be passionate about what you're going to show. I mean, you know, any actors can do a narrative film, but a filmmaker who's going to make a documentary has to be passionate about what he is presenting. And so
I'm always interested in that, because documentaries, I think, are one of my favorite pieces of entertainment. And I agree and I disagree at the same time. Like, I love it when, like last year when we did the Flat Earther interview, that particular person wasn't necessarily passionate about the content. It was really more of an inquisitive or understanding type, you know, opinion. And I think that's what I love about certain documentaries. Like obviously talking with Brett about Inmate Number One, you know, when you kind of talk to him on the side, it's not so much passion. It was just this kind of fell into his lap.
Yeah.
But the story that he didn't share, that he shared with Iggy and I, was that he actually presented a hard copy book of like all the information that he found out about Danny prior to actually filming this.
I think he shared it in the interview, actually.
Did he?
Yeah.
But I think that was, I like it where it's...
Manny Oteiza was here with Blackfish.
Okay.
Is that who it was?
He's a producer and like editor.
But there was like a celebrity that did like the narration on that or something, wasn't it?
Oh, possibly, but they weren't here. Yeah. They weren't here for the festival.
But I absolutely love documentaries. I've been excited to see some of the stuff here. But it kills me when people are like, oh, the character in the documentary. I'm like, it's a real person. You know, like most documentaries are based on a person or based on something. And it's tough when people are like, I didn't like it or I didn't agree with it. I'm like, it's the realest form, I think, of entertainment nowadays.
Well, I mean,
and presented
typically,
in the right way.
Yeah. The biggest movie, but I guess the argument's going to be that it's technically foreign. Salvation with Mads Mikkelsen, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and
I remember that.
That was here, but
did
it's
that get released like, or was that just like straight to like Netflix?
No, I own it. Yeah,
yeah,
I own it, a copy of it, because it's a fantastic movie. Ava Green. It was in it as well,
but
it was technically made by, because Mads is Swedish or
Swedish.
Finnish. I can't remember. So I think it's technically was a Swedish movie
because
it's Mads made it. So it actually starts in his native tongue and then they come to America and then that's why it plays out in America.
I think, you know, when we talk about independent films and stuff like that, we're talking about films that are out of the Hollywood bigness. You know, it's not being produced by major studios like Fox, Disney, Marvel, Paramount, stuff like that. You know, if it's done by, A24 is one. Lionsgate is almost a independent film because, you know, they're kind of out of the mainstream of Hollywood. But AMC Theaters is now highlighting their what they call independent films. I can't remember what it's called, the artisan films or something like that.
I don't.
But they, remember. I mean, if you look at their website, they have like a gold box around.
But they do it for any movie that's not like a big action blockbuster, because they did it even for Yesterday and Amazon's
that
Late
was
Night.
Actually shown at Sundance. It was a Sundance.
It's
film.
Still, but you have Danny Boyle direct. Like it's a. This is time for a whole nother podcast, because we could probably do a whole series about the debate of what makes it independent and who's involved. Yeah. I think I'd be happy to do it. It's a great conversation.
Really,
I just know we're getting low on time and we do need to get ready for the gala. Whoop whoop.
Well,
down at the Greyhound station.
Where are tuxes?
Well, yeah, I got to get dressed up and go eat my cupcakes. But anyways, all right. So we're obviously talking Tallgrass, talking all this stuff. But yeah, it's a great fun event. The biggest takeaway I would say here is that all the content and coverage we're going to have, which a big shout out in the next, I think you're going to do about 8 or so reviews. In these 8 reviews, Bob will have officially reached 100 reviews written for Project Nerd.
God.
100 reviews written.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The 100th review will be Inmate Number 1.
Inmate Number 1.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold it and put a different one first just so they don't be like, you're wrong, Bob. You're wrong. No. No, we'll put it out. Yeah, so Inmate Number 1, which is a good one,
yeah,
I think, to be number 100.
Box around it.
You'll put a gold box around it?
Yes.
So, awesome. So, congratulations, Bob. Thank you for your dedication to Project Nerd. 100 written reviews. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. It's like almost when we hit 100 podcast episodes or 200 podcast episodes.
Do I get a prize or a plaque?
Yeah, I'll pick you up a cupcake tonight at the...
I'm going to save
right?
it.
On me.
Carrie will
on
try
you.
To
Since you're getting the first round of drinks at the event, I'll get the first round of cupcakes.
There you go.
Gotcha. Got you covered, man.
I got the drinks for everybody at the gala tonight.
Nice.
Perfect. Wait.
So I think the biggest thing we say is obviously we haven't had a chance to watch movies. If we get another episode recorded this weekend after we've seen some, we'll share what some of our favorite movies were. again, Bob will have a number of reviews out there, so head on over to projectnerd.com. You can check out all the reviews to get some on these any of the movies we talk about, the reviews, and obviously, even if we don't like them, if you're interested in the idea about it, go out there and support independent filmmakers.
Definitely.
Find out where you can get these. We're talking about it. Gratis Venture is picking up a lot of these because it's now easy for them to just print the Blu-ray disc and then ship them out. So a lot of these ones we're seeing that aren't getting huge, so they're getting support there. So you can get them on Blu-ray or DVD and pick these things up and ship them out. And as always, if you find one that has Project Nerd mentioned in it, what's your one that you got with the Project Nerd?
Oh, which one was that?
Your movie that you...
I can't remember what it was.
You reviewed it here, right?
I reviewed it here.
At Tallgrass.
And it was used in the advertising and the poster.
On the cover of the DVD.
On the cover of the DVD.
Is Bob's quote from the review.
And I have it on my shelf at home.
Yeah. And then my favorite was the... my quote was in the trailer next to...
And then mine was in the trailer too.
So yes.
There.
So for... so for Ferev, they used... I think they used Variety, like... Variety, like another big, and then Project Nerd were the three quotes in it from my. It was super cool, and those people were great for Ferev. So definitely go support those ones that love us. there was tons of great movies we saw last year. In future episodes, we'll talk about more, and then if we can get some more time to sit down and record this weekend, we definitely will. But it doesn't have to be Tallgrass related. So I'm gonna introduce Ryan and Carrie here. It's a little Nerdcast tradition.
Nice.
We Jerry Springer this at the end. We do our little final thoughts. So everybody gets a final thought for the episode about whatever you want it to be about. Like Tyler will usually recommend certain books that he's reading. Adam will talk about whatever he's doing or stuff like that. Or I'll just mention
he'll tell
a fun
everybody to go out and play games.
Yeah. So we're gonna go around and we'll go in alphabetical order. Bob, you're gonna start for us. Final thought for this episode of the Nerdcast.
I have the first. I'm alphabetical. Okay. Well.
B comes before R, K, or I.
Okay. Fine. It's been a long time since I've been on the podcast.
It's been a few weeks.
It's been a few weeks. It seems like a long time. Work's been busy. I've been out there rooting for the Chiefs. Go Chief Kingdom.
Go Chefs.
Patrick Mahomes, get better. We love you, man. But I have not had a chance to really go out and see a movie. I've seen a couple movies here and there, but there's definitely some good movies coming out here. The one I know I'm seeing this week coming up is Zombieland, Double Tap.
So did you see Adam posted in our group? He was like, guys, Zombieland 2 is actually really a lot better than I expected it to be.
It is. It's like a...
Really?
It's
that's
a,
what Adam said.
It's 90% Rotten Tomatoes.
90% on Rotten
really?
Tomatoes, too.
Yeah, so I
think, like... The problem is that the trailer looks like they're trying to sell just a lot of rehash of
the
first
trailer,
one.
But
it feels like it's just, they're just doing the same shit over again, right?
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, a huge score on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's in theaters now. So this isn't just pre-score or anything. And yeah, Adam, which I think we trust pretty well on movie opinions, went and saw
movies.
It, and he was like, guys, and especially because the way he worded it, he was like, guys, I wasn't expecting, but it was actually pretty good. So
yeah.
All right, so you're going to go see Zombieland? So
I'm going to go see Zombieland.
So that's your final thoughts?
And I really strongly recommend to everybody, go see Joker.
Joker? I still haven't seen it, so I'm listening.
I need to see that, too.
All right, Carrie?
Yeah, I'm sure Carrie did.
Hard to follow that. with everything going on, I think the big thing is just go and vote. You know, we got voting coming up.
Whoop, whoop.
Right? I think most of the stuff around Colorado, ballots are being mailed out.
Yeah, I got mine. I got mine right before we shipped out.
Definitely. Yeah, regardless of how you feel, who you feel, whatever. Get out there, do your civil duty.
Well, I think it's civil duty.
You
but
said duty.
You said duty.
Bring it back.
Bring it back full circle. But
civic.
I think what's important here is that what you said is it's you have the right to your voice here.
Yes.
And the problem is majority of you. I'm gonna call some people out. You're exercising that voice on social media. It's gonna be more powerful if you exercise it in a ballot. So just saying, go do vote whether you agree with what I think or not. Go make your voice heard.
Speaks exactly. Louder if you go and vote than if you just sit there and rant about it.
Share a meme on Facebook. But continue to share the memes
if
they're funny.
If you continue to do that.
But if they're funny, share them. Okay.
If you vote, you can bitch.
All right. Actually, if you pay taxes, you can bitch too. I stand firm against that argument. As somebody who is definitely promoting voting, when they say you can't bitch about something you don't, yeah, you can. You pay taxes to live here too, so you still are paying taxes for that person.
Well, you're paying taxes, but you're not putting your opinion in to drive it in any certain direction.
I still encourage to vote, but all right, Ryan's final thought.
Wait, eyes before R.
But I closed the show.
He has to close it. Trust me.
It's before K as like, well, right?
I never get to close.
Yeah,
it is.
So
it
I should have got
before K.
Yeah, so, but I'm the closer here.
Well.
Winners win.
Well, yeah, I mean, first time at Tallgrass, and it's been amazing so far, even though I've only seen one film, but it's, you know, get out here. Get out here and check out the films. Get out to any film festival you can. I've had a lot of fun with these. And
support local arts, right?
Yeah, support local arts. And just because it's not, you know, an A-list cast and advertised on TV doesn't mean it's not good. Actually, I found that I've enjoyed a lot of the stuff we've seen at film festivals.
Because it's not part of the MCU?
Than what I've seen.
They are all stars.
I get what you mean, though. I get what you mean, though. It's not like a Brie Larson or a Chris Hemsworth or anybody else that's a Marvel character. Because that's what everybody is these days. Yeah. Henry Cavill turned down. They wanted him to be Captain Britain.
He did turn it down?
He turned it down.
Oh, gee, I can't imagine why.
Because of the Superman fiasco?
Talking about the other day about Nick Cage was supposed to do.
Yeah, so
Superman
I was giving you guys
Kevin
the heads
Smith.
Up
was
on
that
it.
You?
Yep. Yeah, I was giving you the rundown on it. So Nick Cage. It was Superman Lives, late 90s. Kevin Smith was writing the script. Tim Burton was directing. Nick Cage, who refused to cut his hair, so he had his long locks after Con Air.
Con Air.
Was going to play Superman. And there's a documentary out there on it now. I don't remember the name of the documentary. Kevin Smith will often talk about it. If you ever catch him live, feel free to ask him a question about it. He will definitely divulge into it on an evening with Kevin Smith if you're able to catch one of those Q&A sessions with him. It's fantastic information, and it's just fun. But... for my final thought, I'm going to close with saying it's been a pleasure doing another event here. I think something that got mentioned here is the partnership with Tallgrass. I love all the events we do, so definitely don't want to like dismiss any of them. But our partnership events, O Comic Con in Omaha or O Con Expo now, Rocky Mountain Con, you know, in Denver with Tim, shout out to him. But Tallgrass Film Festival, the ones where we know the people, we partner with them, they rely on us, we rely on them. Those are great. So yeah, shout out to all of them, not just Tallgrass, but we love those events. Always happy to do it. And shout out to Geek Garage for sponsorship here. Yep, yep. So Geek Garage, thank you. Able to, you know, help us with helps with our podcast fees. All this stuff costs money to host all this stuff. You don't get to just, like, you can put it out there for free, but when you're putting as much out there for as many of you that listen, that costs money. So
thank you.
Shout out to Geek Garage for helping pay those bills because we don't have to put the charges on the people listening. We don't have to make it subscription content or anything like that. So head on over to geek-garage.com to show them your support. Pump their numbers up. Those are rookie numbers. Let's pump them up. So help them out, too, because they're helping us out. So big shout out to them.
Gains, boys.
But, yeah, get them W's, boys. But we're going to head out because we're going to go party.
I got some cupcakes.
Right? So that's it for this episode of the Nerdcast. Catch us next time. Same nerd time. Same nerd channel.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.